He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is the February 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. And look, after a 475-point gain in the Dow yesterday, we've got a 20-point drop so far today. However, the NASDAQ, once again, is the dominant index here. And after a 209-point gain yesterday on the NASDAQ, right now the NASDAQ is up another, 89 points, 13,701. If I'm not mistaken, that is a new high by about 30 points on the NASDAQ today. It's starting to fall back a little bit, however, as it hits that what I would call resistance level. The S&P is up 13 to 38.39. The Russell 2K, basically flat. Small caps have really cooled off here recently. Crude oil's had a little bit of a rally here, along with most other commodities. Crude oil's up $1.03 this morning, 55.79. It's been a while since we've seen 55.79 at the oil barrel. I'm sure it's starting to show up at the gas pumps a little bit here. Haven't filled up lately, but I gotta believe we're moving up a little bit here in oil and gasoline prices. Gold's up 280. Gold's been really quiet, $1,836 per ounce. Silver getting a little traction again today, after a sell-off yesterday and a big move the day before. That's called volatility. Silver's up 57 cents to $26.98. Ooh, we're getting a big jump in interest rates today. 1.12, definitely a trend upwards in interest rates. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, the first thing that comes to mind here today as I look at these indexes, as I look at these major asset classes and how they're trading today, that 10-year yield of 1.12, definitely concerning. Well, why would that be, Gunderson? Are you able to invest in a 10-year now and get a little bit more interest on your investment? 1.12 now. Well, you know, the interest rate, the prevailing interest rate impacts the multiple, the P.E. ratio, the forward P.E. ratio of the markets. And I've been saying here for the last several weeks that we're kind of reaching an inflection point. I think we definitely have, not kind of. We have reached an inflection point. What do I mean by that? I don't think you're going to see any more multiple expansion in the S&P 500. It seems to have topped out at about 23 times forward earnings. The long-term average is more in the 15 to 17 range. So a 23 multiple on those future earnings of the S&P 500, which right now are a bit questionable because of the fiscal policy, otherwise known as tax policy, hanging over the head of those S&P 500 earnings like an axe. It puts a little bit of jeopardy not only into the right side of the equation, that's the earnings, but the left side of the equation, or vice versa, forward PE, whichever way you do your equation. I think that forward PE, it's not going any higher than 23. And in fact, I think you're going to start to see that multiple contract. So that is going to have an impact on future target prices for the S&P 500, and in fact could have a very large impact depending on what happens here over the next several weeks and months. So we're going to keep our eye closely glued to interest rates and those S&P 500 earnings estimates. We are now nearing about the halfway point, maybe across the line of the halfway point of earnings season. We're reporting Q4, quarter four of 2020, which is now in the rearview mirror, but those earnings still continue to come in. We had two very large earnings reports yesterday, one from Alphabet, the company formerly known as Google, and the other one from Amazon, the company formerly with the CEO of Jeff Bezos, who no longer is the CEO of Amazon. He's stepping down to spend more time on growth areas of his little company called Amazon, and he's turning over the day-to-day reins to another chap that we'll talk about here in a minute. But earnings season has been going very, very well. In fact, this is the second earnings season in a row. Looks quite good. Now, can we keep up this momentum in coming quarters? How much has already been priced in? And are there some surprises to the downside that could help stall this market out? Well, we'll talk about that and more in a lot of individual stocks here today. Why is the market so excited these last few days? Well, I think I'm right on the money there by saying the market is looking at almost a sure thing of another $1.9 trillion in stimulus. Well, you say the Republicans are never going to sign off on that. Well, it doesn't matter. The Republicans don't have the Senate. They don't have the House. They don't have the executive branch. And there's a little thing called reconciliation, which will allow the Democrats to move forward with their $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. And I think that's what's got the market excited here, especially yesterday, after a rough week last week. Let's not forget, you know, the Dow was down 660 points last week as we had all of that wild, wild action in GameStop and others. Well, that's also abated here so far this week. We're not seeing that wild action. In fact, we're seeing kind of normal action as these stocks retreat back towards their true valuations, which I talked about at length yesterday. Eventually, it's just a matter of time that a stock trading at 500 that's worth somewhere in the $10 to $40 range, let's give it that wide of a range right now, that $500 stock's eventually going to come down to that $10 to $40 range. It's just a matter of time. When it happens, no one knows. But it's happening. It hit 82 yesterday, GameStop, after hitting $500 per share. And I've always been a big proponent of not owning a stock unless you know what it's worth. That will take a lot of the emotion out of the game. If you don't know how to value stocks, well, you know what? What can I say? There's lots of books out there. I was taught my main valuation equation by a well-known mutual fund manager up in the Bay Area. And I liked his methodology the best, and that's what I've used over the last 23, 24 years that I've been in the industry. There's a lot of other valuation methods. Some people will take next year's earnings and multiply it by the growth rate, the expected five-year growth rate. I'm not real keen on that one. But it will at least get you into the ballpark with a valuation. Now, in a shameless plug, if you have the beststocksnowapp.com, all those valuations are there for you where possible. And I'm even going to add a lot more that of companies that are losing money. I'm going to even update some of those valuations also on some of these important stocks that aren't quite profitable yet, but are trading like gangbusters, because the current methodology that I use is based on earnings, growth rate, and multiples. Well, we haven't talked much about this Sunday, just 6 hours south of me, 7 hours south of me, Tampa, where my sister and brother-in-law live. You know what? Look, they've had it pretty good in Tampa this year. They won the hockey, didn't they win the Stanley Cup? Tampa Bay Rays were in the World Series, for heaven's sakes, and now they're in the Super Bowl at their hometown. The sports betting apps could be the Super Bowl MVP this year. Well, I don't know that they're going to give the trophy to DraftKings or Penn Gaming. Probably be Brady again. Super Bowl 55. Is that where we're at? 55. Yeah, I think that's it. Is expected to be the most wagered on single event in U.S. history as legal online and retail sports books across 21 U.S. jurisdictions take the action. Who are you betting on? Well, you know, it's quite a game. You got the old man versus the young kid as far as quarterbacks go. I'm betting on the gaming stocks. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, the air has come out of the tires here since we started the show. The starch has come out of the shirt. The Dow is down 93 right now, and the NASDAQ is basically flat. And the S&P is now down 56 cents. So what gain we had here this morning has gone, come and gone in the last 5 minutes here in the market. Well, there's a lot going on, though. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. What's next for the Wall Street Bet Reddit gang? Well, we really don't know. I mean, there's been some talk that it will be silver. But now I understand, at least this is being reported today, that trying to keep this band of traders together isn't easy. That seems to be the biggest problem. They're an anonymous platform, but once these rumors get out, users become suspicious of each other or bail on a stock or a trade. I mean, you have to all be in unison, which they were on GameStop, and they just kept buying and buying and buying. But now, with all the attention brought to them, it's going to be a little bit harder for them to kind of operate under the cloak of darkness. Earnings coming out after the close today. Well, do I see any big ones? Last night we had two blockbusters, which we'll talk about, Amazon and Alphabet. Also, Chipotle reported last night. Tonight we're going to get Citigroup. What else do I see there of interest? Visa could be interesting. Corvo, Chipstock, PayPal, Qualcomm. Well, that's an interesting one. And KLA-10 Core. So you've got some of the chip stocks reporting tonight, along with some other miscellaneous companies. Yellen, Janet Yellen, that is, the new Treasury Secretary replacing Steve Mnuchin, convenes with regulators to discuss the Wall Street Bets Reddit roller coaster. Well, you know what? I mean, that shook up the whole market. It really did. It spooked the market for a couple weeks. And even though that trade continues to unwind, I think it's wise to go back and see what happened, what went wrong, maybe what can be done in the future to prevent this kind of thing from happening. At the center of all of this, Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev. Well, you know, the easier you make it to invest, okay, you have zero commissions, you have the ability to trade on your mobile phone, you have the ability to trade as much as, I don't know, what's the limit, $5, or you can buy fractional shares and everything else. There's a lot, and Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev is calling for same-day settlement instead of the current trade day plus two. So we'll see where that goes. The bubblicious kind of mania it continues to rear its ugly head in different places in the market. There's a couple spots yesterday. There's a rumor, okay? There's a rumor. Kia Motors shares soars. Okay, you all know Kia. Also, Hyundai. Well, Hyundai is an affiliate of Kia. These are Korean companies. They soar on reported electric vehicle tie-up with Apple. Now, mind you, these are rumors, okay? Kia Motors jumps 10% in South Korea following a local media report. Well, this is coming from their media, that Apple will invest $3.6 billion in Kia as part of a collaboration with the car maker to build electric vehicles. You're saying, well, does Kia trade in the U.S. and Hyundai? Well, they trade on the pink sheet. You can look them up, H-Y-M-L-F. When you've got an F or a Y at the end, that means it's foreign. I think they're in my app. I know Hyundai is. I don't know about Kia. Kia doesn't trade very much. Kia is K-I-M-T-F. The media outlet in South Korea is saying that Apple aims to produce 100,000 vehicles annually by 2024 at the Kia plant, with plans to expand annual capacity to 400,000 at a later stage. The deal is expected to be signed February 17th. But I think the main point I want to get across is these things are trading on rumors. Now, wait a minute. There's another rumor out there that sent a stock soaring yesterday. Boyd, BYDDF, the big Chinese car maker, one that we own in our Ultra Growth portfolio, a wild rumor that Tesla was investing $36 billion to take a 20% stake in Boyd Company has been denied by execs at Boyd already. Now, I did notice a big pop in Boyd yesterday. I didn't think anything of it because the Chinese stocks overall had a big pop yesterday. That was the hottest sector in the market yesterday. The two hottest sectors in the market yesterday? Well, the cloud stocks were very hot. The cannabis stocks were very hot. And the Chinese stocks. I thought Boyd was just caught up in that. But a rumor that Boyd is denying. This is a stock market that has got a bit of euphoria into it. In fact, Bank of America's sell-side indicator is close to signaling a sell at a near-decade high. Okay, the sentiment indicator means, what is the sentiment of investors out there? Is it too positive right now? That's usually not a good sign for the market. Bank of America's Securities sell-side indicator, SSI, which is a contrarian measure of Wall Street's bullishness, is less than 2 percentage points from the euphoria level that would trigger a sell signal. Now, I'm seeing that same kind of euphoria, and I've been reporting on it. It's worrisome. The forward PE of the market is worrisome. A line at 31,000 that seems to be a resistance level in the Dow is worrisome. But thank goodness it's a market of stocks and gives us opportunities to look underneath the averages and the indexes for things that are working. But the last time that this sell-side indicator hit this kind of percentage number was in August of 2007. I think you might want to sit up and take notice of that. You know the old saying, sell into euphoria and buy into despair. That seems to work better. I bought into the despair of March, April 2020, and now it's gotten euphoric. Without question, it's gotten euphoric. And I have taken some of those big profits off the table. But I still have quite a few long positions at this point in time. So we're going to keep our eye on that. I thought I would bring that to your attention. That's a very, very big story. The SSI indicator, Bank of America, just 2 percentage points away from euphoria. That's when alarms go off at Bank of America and they all run outside of the building and all the Merrill Lynch offices clear out. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Docs Now radio hour. Like I say, the wind completely has come out of the sails of the market. Since it opened, the Dow is now down 130, while silver's up 50 cents. The NASDAQ's down about 5 points right now, despite pretty good reports from Amazon and Google, our Alphabet, I guess, which we'll talk about in the final segment of the show. Google's doing very well. Alphabet's up 7% this morning. But Amazon, kind of just a ho-hum kind of move after that report. Two very hot IPOs, much anticipated IPOs coming out today. Well, one's a SPAC that has been trading, but now they've got a product. They're making a purchase. And I have added both of these companies to my best stock, well, one of them, to my Best Stocks Now app. No, actually, both of them. And here's the deal, what they do for a living, and why everybody's so excited about these new companies. One of them is a new electric vehicle company. You knew one of them had to be an EV player. Out of Israel, the name of the acquisition corp, the SPAC, Burgundy Technology Acquisition, Burgundy, just like the color, just like the wine, Burgundy Technology Acquisition, the symbol, BTAQ. It's been trading here for a while, but with no direction known. And today, it is finally announcing the business that they'll be in, and it's not really reacting that much, but I'm going to keep my eye on it. I put this on my watch list. They plan to take Israeli electric vehicle technology company, REE Automotive, public through a merger. Well, this stock was up 40%. Yesterday and in the after hours, it's dropping a little bit today, but you've got a new player to keep your eye on. REE Automotive, REE. I remember another Israeli taking an electric vehicle public not too long ago, a maker by the name of Tesla, Elon Musk. Well, here comes another one. Right now, the symbol is BTAQ. I've added it to the Best Stocks Now app. And I've added it to my set of charts on my watch list, so I'll be watching that one going forward. Obviously, it's going to be a while before they have sales, before they have earnings. It's not really my cup of tea. But this is a hot spot in the market today. If you even mention the word lithium in your earnings report, much like the dot-com era, your stock goes up. If you mention electric batteries in your earnings report, the stock goes up. That's the kind of environment we're in right now. Now, here's a second one. Well, remember Zoom Video? I mean, Zoom Video was a pretty big thing when it went public at about $50 a share, $60 a share somewhat. Nobody anticipated that COVID would come along the following year after Zoom Video went public. The rest is history. ZM is now a $111 billion company. I think it got up to about $200 billion at one time. And you can say they were in the right place at the right time. But their comparables aren't going to be what they were. It's going to be very hard to top what they did during the homebound COVID-19 pandemic, people working from home and the conference table and the boardroom disappearing, they went to Zoom video. Well, there's a company going public today, and guess what they do? They have a virtual meeting platform. On24 is the name of the company. They're pricing their IPO at $50 per share. Eerily similar to Zoom's public offering a few years back. Goldman Sachs is behind it. The symbol is ONTF. We'll be watching that one today. It has not traded yet. You see, they're checking their buy sheet and how much demand there is for this stock and where it's going to open. Now, I currently do not have access to IPOs. Maybe at some point in the future we will have access to IPOs. But for now, you know, this is almost a sure thing to go way up when it eventually trades today. Right now it's at $45. Keep your eye on this one. ONTF, another virtual meeting platform. In fact, they're saying about this, virtual meeting meets artificial intelligence and collide in outer space and create ONTF, a stock that's going to start trading here sometime during the day. Now, why all the excitement about electric vehicles? Well, you know, this move towards carbon neutral, will it handle? I mean, can the grid handle all the demand to charge up cars? But consider that right now EV sales were about 2% of total retail sales in the U.S. in 2020 and only expected to grow to 2.5% in 2021. They expect 30 different electric vehicles from 21 different brands, which should be available for sale this year versus only 17 from 12 brands in 2020. So it's getting to be a much more competitive market, but it's still a very small part of our overall automobile market. But it's finally starting to shape up. In fact, a well-known analyst says after years of speculation and empty promises, 2021 is actually shaping up to be a pivotal year for growth in the EV sector. And let's not forget that GM recently said, we're going all in. We're going completely electric. I know Volvo has made that same pledge. But some of the big EV players right now are NIO, Great Wall, Kandi Technology, Geely Automotive. They actually own Volvo, I want to say. Volkswagen, Daimler, Ford, Guangzhou out of China, Toyota, Nissan, Honda, Tesla, General Motors, BAIC Motors, Li Auto, XPeng, state-owned SAIC Motor, Dongfeng Motors, and Kia, and Nissan. I mean, there's a ton of them now when there weren't a ton of them before. Okay, here's another eerily similar thing I'm watching in the market today that reminds me of 2000. And back in 2000, there were a couple people that really became folk heroes, right, because of their picks in the technology sector. Of course, anything in the technology sector back then was zooming pretty much, .com. But I remember a few mutual fund managers that became almost iconic type stars. If they just mentioned a stock, it would fly. Well, we have something kind of similar today. You know, I own most of the stocks that Kathy Woods is investing in, but she's got a much bigger name profile than I do. She's the CEO of the ARK, A-R-K, Next Generation Funds, and she reported yesterday a big new purchase. And this stock, I'm sure, yeah, it did. It soared. Just mentioning that she's buying it. Heck, when I mention I'm buying one, everybody runs. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, DraftKings, she's buying. The fund, the Next Generation, ARKW, the Next Generation Internet ETF, part of Kathy Wood's empire over there at ARKK, took a position in DraftKings. I took a position in DraftKings, I think, a year ago when it was still a SPAC. Where have you been, Kathy? The fund snapped up 620,000 shares of DraftKings. The top holdings for ARKW ETF are Tesla, Roku, Square, and Spotify. DraftKings also mentioned positively today at Benchmark with a buy rating reiterated and a price target of 66. How is DKNG doing today? Okay. It's up a few cents, 12 cents per share. But Kathy Williams steps up to the plate and takes a position. All right. Well, let's see. I think we'll talk about, keep our powder dry for the final segment of the show. We'll talk about a really bad one and then a couple of good ones and then a really, really good one. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm going to rattle off some stocks here in the last quarter of the show, including Amazon and Google, just to put things in perspective for you. Some of these are really good companies that reported earnings. I want you to know where they're ranked right now, what I think of them. And some of them are really bad, and I know probably maybe some of you own these stocks. I don't know. I'm not here to insult anybody. But I just, you know, I go through the numbers and my ranking system I use for my own use. It points me in the right direction, and it's able to separate a lot of wheat from the chaff. Okay, here we go. Let's start with Harley Davidson. They reported earnings. Well, I got 5,600 stocks in my database. It's ranked number 5,124. Sorry, hog. Nothing there. Electronic Arts. Now, you would think, a lot of people think about the story, and they'll try to use logic, saying, gosh, the gaming business is booming right now, and the video game business is booming. But you know what? You have to look at the numbers underneath the stock. Electronic Arts. It's been a dead stock for a long time. It's ranked number 1,539. They posted earnings that were just Biogen, one of the biggest biotechs in the world. Very poor growth, very poor chart. It's ranked number 1,907. You know, I like the top 300 or 400 myself. Biogen reported earnings ranked number 1,907. What about Sony? A Japanese company. The Japanese economy doing pretty well. SNE is ranked number 2,598 despite beating earnings estimates. Now, I've got a lot more here to talk about, but I just want to stop for a moment and say that it's very important. This is very, very important to know these rankings, which take into account the valuation and the momentum or lack thereof. I call it my process of elimination. It's nice to eliminate about 5,200 on a daily basis. I have no interest whatsoever and just focus on what meets my criteria that I've determined. Everybody has their own criteria, but for me, this is the criteria that I've determined over the years is most important. Momentum and valuation. And you can see the results in the newsletter. You can see the results in my tip ranks and whatnot. So, you know, these rankings are very important. Sony, number 2,598. We don't need to waste our time on that one. I'll tell you a hot sector in the market. Auto dealerships. Oh, I know it's a boring sector, but there's a couple hot stocks in there. Lithia Motors is one, LAD. It's ranked number 74 overall. I guess it's being fueled by people working from home and low interest rates. That's all I can say, but this has been a very, very hot sector. There's a couple. Asbury Automotive Group is also in, like, rank number 130 right now. I don't own either one of them, but they meet my criteria. Novo Nordisk, one of the biggest drug companies in the world dealing with diabetes, ranked number 1,741. Next, Brookfield Infrastructure Partners, BIP. Note the word infrastructure in there. You know, with the new administration, there's going to be some money thrown at infrastructure. Brookfield Infrastructure Product Partners is ranked number 136. Take note, BIP. That one meets my criteria, even though I do not own it. Humana, oh, one of the biggest healthcare companies in the world, HMO, number 4,183 overall. That's all I needed to look at. And I move on to the next one. Scotts Miracle-Gro. You know, this is actually a pretty good stock. And I'll let on, this is one of the bonds that we own. With all of this staying at home and we had the food shortages and you couldn't go to the supermarket, gardening. Now, some people aren't growing cucumbers in their basement or their garage or parsley. I'm growing all kinds of things. Peas. I've got my peas going. I got my romaine lettuce. I mean, you got to have romaine lettuce for a Caesar salad every night. I've got all my herbs going. I've got my tomato plants all started, my pepper plants. So Scotts Miracle-Gro has been a very good stock. It's currently ranked number 446. We don't own the stock. We own the bond. This stock's becoming a monster. It's ranked number 160 overall, Spotify. My issue with Spotify, I'm wondering if they'll ever be profitable. I kind of can see a Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S type of deal here. Remember XM Satellite and Sirius that went out there, did the satellite, became subscription only. That's kind of the tack that Spotify is going. I'm dubious about Spotify even ever being an earnings monster. But having said that, it is ranked number 160 overall, if that's your cup of tea. They did report their sales and their earnings yesterday, and stock selling off a little bit today. Enterprise Products, the pipeline stocks, 3,809. Now, Google is ranked number 142 overall. For some reason, I sold my Google about 3 weeks ago. If you want a stock to go up, sell it. Sell it. That will make it go up because Google's gone up every day since I sold it. Oh, well, you know, that happens in this business. And speaking of, let's see, Amazon is currently ranked number 240 overall. I own that one. And Chipotle down a little bit, ranked number 60 overall. We also own Chipotle. And last but not least, ServiceNow, a cloud stock, had a huge day yesterday. It's number 98 overall. And we do own ServiceNow. So there you go. That was the quick little bunch of stocks going through them and how to eliminate and how to focus on what I consider to be best stocks now. And that narrows down your list quite a bit to choose from. Well, you can do your own choosing. You can use the tools that I've used, my subscription products. Or most people, a lot of people, just have Gunderson manage it. He's here every single day sitting at the desk looking at charts, looking for the best, and cutting and trimming when he things are necessary, and also watching that for that next bear market to creep up behind us. It's out there somewhere. We don't want to go down 50-60% when that thing comes along, do we? Well, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go onto our website at GundersonCapital.com and take a look at the newsletter. Is it working? These things that I teach every day. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.